Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you for your word that as we come in, Lord, that our ears are open to hear what you have to say. Father, we thank you, Lord. We can bring you glory and honor in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bible, I just want you to hold up for a second. I want you to say, this is my Bible. It's the living word of God. And I believe it on purpose. Amen. It is the living word of God. And you know, it's the fact that we have to believe it on purpose. We have to make it the plumb line in our life. We have to make it the, you know, I don't move or live or have my being without the word of God. Amen. So tonight, you know, being that this is Faith City Church, I'm going to share a little bit about Mark 11:23-24. You know, if you've ever been around this church, you know that this is one of, you could almost say one of our foundational scriptures. We look at it a lot. I'm going to share a little bit and a little bit different limelight. Or as Brother Hagin used to say, I'm going to look at the mountain from a different view. How many of you know there's going to be one mountain? If I'm on one side and you're on one side, we have two different views. So it's going to go to Mark 11:23. Now, I always use a New King James Version, so I haven't amplified stuff of that, but all I have tonight is this one. So we're just going to go from there because I like this one. You know, my wife bought me a new Bible 7 years ago. It still probably has like five places underlined because I always go back to my old one and because it's already underlined and it's got like notes. And if you have a Bible you can't write in or underline, throw it out and get one that you can. I'm serious, because if you look at most of the leadership here, they have Bibles that have been written in and underlined. I know Pastor, before we got the iPads and stuff, I think he went through probably three Bibles that I know of in the time that I've known him, just from opening and underlining it and stuff like that, because you want a reference to it. Amen? So Mark 11, I'll start at verse 23. Actually, I'm going to start at verse, I'll tell you a little bit of story, then I'll start at verse 20. And this is when they're walking by, and there's a fig tree. And Jesus was hungry, so he says he looked, and there was leaves on the fig. And then he went over to get some figs, saw the tree, and there's no figs on it. So he cursed the tree. No one will eat from you again. Off they went. This is the next day. They're walking back through. The disciples see the fig tree, and that is dried up from the roots. This is a 24-hour period. So I'm going to start at verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says, it will be done. And he will have whatsoever he says. Now, I like the fact that it says, if you say to your mountain, be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart. Now, you know, even in a natural aspect, I've heard that if you take the Rocky Mountains, which is one of the largest mountain ranges in the world, if you picked it up, put it in the Pacific Ocean, it would disappear. You wouldn't even see it. You know, I know that, like even in the natural, that we are to go, and we have to look at that, which I'm going to get into, is that we have to cast our mountain, and we know that it could be our problems in our lives. No matter what it ever it is, we have to speak to the mountain and get it cast into the sea. Now, we've heard that. If you've been around here, we know we're taught that we get what we say, but we have to say what we want. Amen? We have to say what the word says. The amazing thing is, I've looked at this scripture, and I try and live by this scripture, and, you know, I'm not perfect. I'll never tell you I'm perfect. But, you know, I've seen manifestations in my life about things that me and my wife have believed for, that we've seen come to pass, whether it be things that we need, things that we want, because there's a difference, healing, just things in our life have just changed. But we have to allow the Word of God to speak to us. So what I like is that in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, in 1 Corinthians, it says that Adam was the first man, or the natural man, and that Jesus was the second Adam, or the spiritual thing. So the aspect about looking at the mountain and speaking to the mountain, because, you know, when Jesus does things, he does things, he says, I already do things what the Father does, which is amazing, because in Zechariah, it says that you shall speak to the mountain, and you shall remove the mountain with shouts of grace to it. And that word grace is just unmerited God's favor. his kindness, because he loves us, you speak that kind of grace to the mountain, it'll be removed. So the amazing thing is, when Jesus was telling them a concept, you have the faith of God, or the faith, not just faith in God, but the God kind of faith within you. When you speak to your situation, and it doesn't matter what the situation is, when you speak to a natural circumstance, and you speak the spiritual answer into the natural circumstance, it has to submit, it has to obey. And the amazing thing is that which we were born, and we come along, and we're natural, even in our birth, we're born naturally, then we all, if you're born again, we've all said the sinner's prayer, confess him as Lord. Thank you, Lord, I believe that you came as a virgin birth, you died for my sins, you resurrected again, you spoke something spiritual into a natural situation and got born again. Same principle that we use every aspect of our life. So as we go, I'm just going to look at 3 points as we get there that we use in order to speak. Because sometimes we can all falter. We can all get to the point where we have situations where sometimes we got to make sure, well, not sometimes, all the time, we got to make sure that we're not looking at the natural aspect of it. And as we go, I guess, you know, I will try and use aspects of my life, because I can only give you testimonies of my life. I can't give you testimonies of your life, but I can give you testimonies of my life. And what's nice about a testimony is it's the fact that when you go through a circumstance, you get the answer from God, and you step out, and you get victory. Nobody can take that away from you. It doesn't matter if they believe it or not. You know in your heart, you know in your inside, that when God answered a prayer, he answered a prayer. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can tell me that God does not exist. Nobody can tell me that I'm not born again. Nobody can tell me, because I know that I know that I know. Nobody can tell me that God doesn't heal, because I know that I know that I know. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Sometimes I still, you know, we got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? So we're just going to look at some stuff as we go along. So, you know, we got to take that what we perceive as natural and speak the spiritual. And that's what we do. We speak the word. You know, we got to always rely on the word. And even when there are times when it seems like the enemy's almost winning, we still got to make sure we stand with the word. Amen. You know, as you know that me and my wife went through something near the end of this year. And it was a thing that, and you have to catch yourself. You know, when I was, you know, taking her to the hospital, I had to catch myself. You know, I'm like, I've been saved like, you know, almost 30 years. And you have to catch yourself, because you can easily get into the aspect where you start walking in the natural. You can start to let fear come on you. You can start to be anxious about things. And it's like, no, Lord, your word says. And you got to speak that which is spiritual into the natural. It doesn't matter what the natural is. You got to speak the spiritual. When you're sick, because I always like to refer to sickness. When you're sick, you got to realize that it doesn't matter what's going on. 1 Peter 2:24 works for you. Amen. Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. That works, whether you want to believe it or not, that works, because it's true. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we are, past tense, healed. When your marriage is going through a situation, you speak what the word says. He who finds a wife finds a good thing with favor with the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, that she's my good thing. I've been married 21 years. Not every moment has been bliss and paradise, and she'll attest to that, you know. Not that we've ever gotten, you know, that far, but there are times where it's like, oh, okay, she's my good thing. She's my good thing. She's my good thing. And I find favor with you, Lord. You speak into a situation. You got to stop it when it's small, because the word says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Because if you don't deal with it when you hear, then it starts to grow. Then it starts to grow. Then it starts to grow. Oh, I have to forgive her. Oh, because but you know you can, because the word says you can. He will never tell you to do something you cannot do. I don't feel like forgiving her. Well, it doesn't matter. The word says you got to forgive her. You know, when Miss Anita was saying about us moving up here, you know, it's amazing, because we were going along. We had come up here, got a sense to come up here. After 2 years, we had a problem. Well, not a problem. I went through something. And then we were like, you know what? We went back. And then 2 years later, we came back up again. And people ask me, how do I know to move up north? You know? Because he will use people. Even though my wife's from up here, he used her to get me up here, but she's not up here. We're not up here because of her. We're up here because God called us up here. I'm reading. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, back and forth, back and forth. I'm sensing, you know, to go up north. I don't know anybody up north. I don't know. I've never been north of, like, Toronto. I haven't even been to Barrie. And you want me to go where? You look on a map, and you're like, it's like 2 days' drive, you know. And I'm like, why are you not up there? Obviously, it's not that good because you came down here, you know, because I'm from southern Ontario. But, you know, then I was reading the scripture. I think it's in Isaiah. And it says that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. It comes from God. And that became a rhema to me. I was like, Lord, the word says that you're north. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. It comes from God. So God must be north. That's how he spoke to me at that time. So we're like, okay. And that became a rhema. So we came up here, you know. And we came up here. And it was not always easy when we first went up here. But God never took his hand off us. We never went without. We came up here, no job. Either one of us had no job. No, nothing set, no unemployment because I quit my job in Southern Ontario, and God provided, amen. God continued, that his word continued to work. We get up in the morning, I remember I'd sit there and I'd have my confessions, Deuteronomy 8:18, for he gives us the power, the ability, the talent to get wealth, so he may establish this covenant. Okay, thank you, Lord. I know that your word says you give us the ability, or you give me the ability, the talent to get wealth, so that you may establish your covenant, Lord. So that means I'm going to get some money because of I can do something so that I can sow back into the kingdom, which is expand your covenant. That's what the word says. And, you know, he continued to provide. It was phenomenal. I remember we up here the first time, and I wasn't working. And, you know, the word says that the children of Israelites, it says, as they went, their shoes didn't wear out. So I was reading that. I'm thinking, Lord, as they went, their shoes didn't wear out. 40 years in the desert, their shoes did not wear out. Okay, Lord, thank you. That means that my tires are not going to wear out because your word is the word. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. People think I'm crazy. They thought I was crazy. I bought used tires before we came up here. We drove for 3 years, probably put almost 100,000 kilometers on those tires. When we went back down to London, they had the same amount of tread as when I bought them 3 years before. I didn't rotate them. It was a supernatural thing. As soon as I went to work, I stopped confessing that. I had to buy new tires like in 2 months. I was like, I should have just kept believing it, you know. People are like, no, it doesn't. You ask my wife. We bought used tires, 100,000 or 80,000, 100,000 kilometers, 80,000 kilometers, 3 years. Because we went back and forth. We drove back and forth from here to London. And that's like 5,000 kilometers there and back. And we'd go two or three times a year. And we didn't have to buy any tires. It was a phenomenal. Like I said, as soon as I started working, it's like, oh, I had to buy tires. God, his word is true. I'm a tither, so we believe that he will be devoured for our sake. So we, you know, we have things happen, but we don't have a lot of things happen. I work with guys, you know, I work in a factory now. And you hear some of the stories that people go through. They have to do this, they have to do that, they have to do this. I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord. Because, you know, he will allow you to walk in a favor, which is phenomenal, because you put your trust in him. And the word does work. So anyway, so the one story with my wife was, we're going there. And I was, you know, you can get anxious. I'm going to share a little bit, and I might get in trouble afterwards. But to be honest, I know she shared her testimony. But you know how scary it is when you're standing there talking to somebody, and we're at a merge, and I'm like, Kathy, honey, and she's like, not even acknowledging me. And you have to say, okay, Lord, your word says 1 Peter 2:24 works. Like I said, she was at church that Sunday night. That's awesome. It is awesome that within 3 days, she was back at church celebrating the goodness of God. And, you know, and his word works, you know. So we need to take that. So Romans says that we have to renew our minds with the washing of the word. The washing of the word. I love that because, you know, it's a spiritual aspect. We have to renew our mind with that, the washing of the word. Anything to do with water or the washing is like I said, it's a spiritual aspect. It says in John that when you speak in tongues or you praise God and you share share these things, it says out of your innermost belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, I was thinking on the way here, that when we're sitting there and we're thank you, Lord, it says that you will build yourself up in your most holy faith as you're praying in the Spirit. You know why? It's because you will, that which is within you, which is your spirit, it'll flow out of you. It'll build you up, because sometimes in the natural, you don't know what to pray about even for your own self. You don't know how to lift yourself up. You don't know how to do things. So you start praying in tongues, and it will lift you up. It will build you. It will build you. And the word is like peace by peace by peace. We always think, you know, being a microwave society, that we want to go from here to there instantly. But, you know, the word, you know, God's not like an instant God like that. It's a process. It says line upon line, precept upon precept. It says that we'll grow in the things of the Lord. So, you know, Romans 12:2, it says we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we're going to look at just a couple of things. Three ways to help you speak. And then I got one little verse I'm going to end in that. So like I said, I won't keep you long. John 4, three things to help you speak. And there's a lot more than that, but some of these things as we go. This is, I'm not going to do the whole story, but this is a story where Jesus, he's in Samaria, he's at Jacob's well, he's ministering, and he starts ministering to a lady. So I'm going to start at verse 7, it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the women of Samaria said to him, how is it you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and as a son, and as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here. And he said, go call your husband. Then I'm going to go down to verse 21, and Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father, for you worship what you do not know, and we know what we worship for the salvation of the Jew, but the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers will worship him, the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the first thing about speaking to a mountain is you got to realize, and you have to continue to give him thanks. Because he tied about getting, he ministering to her, and then he brings it into worship. So if you need to minister to somebody, or you need to minister yourself, you need to minister to a problem, you need to speak to a problem in your life, you need to learn how to worship God. You need how to give him thanks. You need to realize that no matter what your eyes see, that the answer is the word. You know, I love what Smith Wigglesworth says. If you ask for something six times, the first five times were unbelief. Because if you just say, Lord, I want you to heal me. And the next day you wake up, you're still not feeling well. Well, okay, Lord, I want you to heal me. Well, didn't you receive yesterday when you asked me? Because either he healed you, he heard you the first time. So when you say, Lord, thank you in Jesus' name that I'm healed, thank you. Then you continue, Father, whenever you think about the situation, thank you, Lord, and continue to lift you up and exalt you because you are my healer. Thank you, Lord, I continue to lift you up because your word says that you are the healer. I thank you, Lord, that my healing is already here. I thank you, Lord, that my healing was dealt with 2,000 years ago. We got to realize that everything we have is already done. Everything we have was done 2,000 years ago. And it doesn't matter if you think, well, I'm not worthy of it because he's already done it. You're already worthy to receive everything he already has. You know, the word says if you sin, you ask for forgiveness. But if you do something and you think you're not in a position to receive, then the only reason you're not going to receive is because you think you're not in a position to receive. Because God has already given it to you. What we got to realize is if I do something wrong, I'm not going to not get my healing because I did something wrong. I'm going to not get my healing because I don't think I deserve my healing because I've done something wrong. It's a finished work. Jesus doesn't say, well, because you're still smoking, I'm not going to give you that healing. He says, because my son died, you've already got the healing. The smoking might keep our mindset away from receiving the healing because we think we're not worthy. So we got to continue to give him thanks. First 10 years I was saved, I was smoking. I was still blessed by God. I was still walking in the prosperity of God. God didn't like the fact that I was smoking, but the smoking didn't hinder me from receiving what I believed I could receive. Oh, that's challenging. It's challenging because we always think, because if we get to the point that we think we have to do something right to receive from God, then we're back in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament was, be good and you'll receive something, God said. Cursing and blessing. If you do this, you'll be blessed. It's an obedience thing. The New Testament is, Jesus has already done it. We receive it. Thank you, Lord. That's the grace of God, is the fact that I can still smoke and still receive my healing because I'm a child of God. I don't say to my son, you can't do this because you didn't cut the grass. Well, he's got to eat 3 meals a day when he's living with us. You're 5-year-old. You still give him food. You still give him what he needs. You still got to sustain your children. If not, it's child abuse. He didn't cut the grass. He's not, well, maybe not the snack or not the dessert, but you still got to give your kids what they need. You know, my son would still do something wrong. I might take away something from him because I'm a natural father, but I still had to give him food for his lunch, make sure he grew. I still had to look after him. You're not going to let your kid starve because he hasn't cut the grass. Really, right? So what challenges us is realizing that I'm not giving you license to sin. Be holy as I am holy, the word says. But the thing is, we got to realize that if we're in a position that we're doing something wrong, then we change. Only because that will open us up to hear, but we might have to do something because we're not receiving what we need. Sometimes it could be a thing, and I've heard stories, and I, you know, like Ms. Neese said, I've read a lot. And I can't remember who it was, but somebody was saying about the fact that they were, somebody was believing for, it was a couple believing for a baby. The Lord believing for a baby, and the preacher, you know, they were where they were. I can't remember who it was. He said, you need to start tithing. It's hindering you. Not because they were disobedient, it's because they weren't open to what the Spirit of God said. So if they started tithing, she had a baby. Because the Word says, because they could believe what the Word said. It's only because it was a hindrance. Sometimes if I don't do something, I'm not going to receive from God, only because it's putting a stumbling block in my mindset of who God is. God's already done it. Amen? He's already done it. My provision is already looked after. My healing is already dealt with. If I had to wait till I was perfect, I'd never get healed. Because the day I get perfect is the day that this natural body falls and I walk into him in the presence of God in my spirit man. Because as long as we're in the flesh, like Brother Hagin says, somebody said, I want to pray that I never have to get tempted again. Well, then I'm going to pray that you'll die. Because as long as we're in the natural realm, no matter how good we are or how perfect we think we are, we're always going to walk into the place. We're always going to be tempted. My temptation might not be the same as your temptation. You know, my temptation, I've never been one to be a drinker. Never been one to be a drinker. I could go minister in bar. It would not bother me at all. Care less. Want a beer? No, not temptation. But some things do, and I'm not going to tell you what they are. Because none of us are perfect. Amen? You know? So what we got to realize is that he will tempt you in the ways he knows how to tempt you. You know, when you're going through something, you know, a couple months ago, I was talking with my wife, and she shared a few things. We've been married 21 years. I've known her almost 30 years. And she told me about something that, you know, that she went through, and I was like, I said, really? I'm totally shocked. Not that she was doing anything bad, but I'm like, I didn't think that would be a temptation for her. I'm like, that's weird. You know, it wasn't anything major. I didn't see that, you know. And it's like, it's funny because we can look at things. We see each other here on Wednesdays, we're all dressed nice. We see here on Sundays, we're all dressed nice. But we don't know what each other goes through. That's why sometimes, you know, you need to be able to sit there. And if the Lord speaks to you about doing something, so you're believing for something, and I believe in sowing and reaping, sow and you shall reap. And sometimes I've had it where the Lord said, I want you to bless somebody. So you're like, okay, this person, you know, and it's like sowing into something. You think, well, this person doesn't look like she needs $100, drives a nice car, whatever. But you never know what she's going through, right, man? And sometimes your sowing is never downwards to somebody that needs something. Sometimes your sowing is upwards to somebody who's already got a blessing because you want to sow into a higher thing. So sometimes when God tells you to do something, don't think, well, she doesn't look like it, that she needs whatever it is that you're supposed to do. Because sometimes that's how we start looking at the natural. So I try and get to the point that if me and my wife are somewhere and we hear, we want you to sow, it's like, okay, Lord, don't look at the natural. I want you to buy a pastor, whatever it is. It's like, okay. And I, not that I know pastor as well as, you know, say Miss Need or something. But there are times like, okay, I know in some ways he's doing okay, but you know what? God tells me to give him something, I'll give it to him. Because I want to sow into my man of God. Because I want to be blessed. Then now, as I'm receiving something or awaiting something, then it's a matter of saying, okay, Lord, your word says sow and receive. So as I'm receiving, I'm going to thank you, Lord, because your word says that I'm going to receive. Because your word says, so give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So thank you, Lord, I'm going to receive now. I've sowed, Lord, thank you, Lord, I'm going to receive what you have for me. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to receive. And we just got to continue to give thanks. We got to continue to worship, not just praise, but continue to worship. You know, I heard something the other day, which I thought was really, really neat. The guy says, he was talking about David, how David, he worshiped, you know, when they were bringing the ark into the Jerusalem. He went six steps, and he worshiped. Six steps, and he worshiped. Six steps, and he worshiped. Imagine walking, I don't know how many miles, because the ark, Obed-Edom's house, was outside of Jerusalem. So even if it's like, say, from, you know, here to Pastor Ken's house, that would be a lot of time doing six steps and then worshiping. Six steps and then worshiping. You know, he said it's amazing that David had his stages. He had worship. Every time he went somewhere, he worshiped. He goes, then he looked at the pattern and he went back to Genesis 1. God made in day one. And it says, then he stopped. God said it was good. He stopped. It's good. What is worship? Thank you, Lord, that it's good. He made day two. Then he stopped. It's good. Saw the sun, moon, and stars, and it's good. Saw the earth, it's good. Saw the animals. Then he said, it's good. He stopped every day and took time to say, look at that, to himself. That's good. You know, the amazing thing is when he made day six, he made man. Then he says, it is very good. Because now he's got somebody to share it with. It's very good. Because now that was his completion. So when you continue, you believe or something, continue to give thanks. Continue to worship. So whenever you dealt with your problem, continue to worship because the problem's already dealt with. So she went to the city. What I love is the fact that she went to the city. She left her pot there. She left her burden with Jesus. He told her about her husband and her husband's and all this stuff. And then she believed who he was. She left because she didn't need that natural water anymore. She just left her burden. It says that she left her water pot there and went into the city. You know, the amazing thing is we got to make sure that when we continue to worship, that we leave our natural aspect, we leave our water pot there. Because whatever's in the natural, I will need again and again and again. But when we get into giving thanks, we get into worshiping God for who he is, we get into receiving what he has, then we don't have to come to him all the time. It is within our bellies, out of our bellies, so we will never thirst. I can be alone and continue to fill myself up with what God has. I can be here and fill myself up with what God has. I can be driving and filling myself up with God has, because it comes out of our innermost being. So we don't have to carry our burden around. We don't have to carry our water pot around. We just continue to give thanks. Amen. We continue to give thanks no matter what you're believing for. Thank you, Lord. And just continue to give thanks. Amen. Just leave your pot behind and carry on. You know, the second thing is you got to know his word. If you're speaking to a mountain and you want to cast it into the sea, you got to know what you got to say. You got to know his word. You got to know that God wants you blessed. You got to know that God wants you delivered. You got to know that God wants you healed. You have to know that God wants you to be, you know, the best husband to be. You got to know that God wants what God wants. You got to know his word. You know, it says in Hebrews, it says that he framed the world with his word. You know how we frame our world? With our word. Amen. It says in one of the Psalms, and the angels minister to the voice of his word. I love that. Not to his voice. Angels minister to the voice of his word. That's when we speak, amen. You got to make sure, our angels are ministering out there. We got to know what to speak. We got to know that healing is ours, like I say. We got to know that. You got to know what the word says. How did I know to come to Thunder Bay? Because I read that, and that spoke to me, right? You got to know what the word says. That's why manna's got to be fresh every day. I can't go get manna for you. Moses said, you need to go get your own manna. You need to get your manna. You need to get your manna. You need to find out what God is speaking to you. You need to find out what God's speaking to you. I can tell you what the word says, but you got to find out what God's speaking to you. You got to go from a logos word to a rhema word when he's speaking to you. You got to go from the angel stirring to the water to Jesus saying, do you want to be well? You got to go from a logos to a rhema. You got to know what the word says to you. Amen. We got to know, because I can't give them thanks if I don't know what I'm speaking to the mountain. I don't know if I'm speaking to the mountain if I don't know what to say. So you got to know. You know, you got to, like I said, I've had some strange things. Children of Israel, their shoes will not wear out. Thank you, Lord. I'll take that as a rhema. It doesn't make sense. It did to me 12 years ago. It did to me. 12 years ago, it did to me. You know, we got to realize what the word says, and that is how we speak. Joshua 1 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from left to right, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law. This is a principle of the Old Testament, which is still relevant now. We got to know not to turn from left to the right. We got to know. You know, sometimes I think there's a lot of times that as believers that we will get an instinct or do something to the left or right, and we might miss something. And a lot of times I don't think we realize what we miss. You know, you get a routine of going down the road, going back and forth to work, and all of a sudden one day you might think, I'm just going to turn here or turn there. You know, so you might, you don't know why, you just go a different way, because you might miss something that's there. Because he will speak to your inner man. I always have had people, you know, I've had new believers ask me, what does God sound like? Well, to me, he sounds like me. It's my inner man. That's what he sounds like to me. He sounds like me. God will speak to you, and he sounds like you. Other times, he sounds like my pastor, and other times, he sounds like my wife. You know? But when I'm in my prayer closet, and I'm listening to God, God sounds like me. Because he comes out of my spirit, amen? He speaks to my spirit. You know, sometimes we're always waiting for a spectacular thing. And sometimes we miss the simple supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. Sometimes we miss the little things because we're waiting for something big where God says, go, go, go. And we go. He says to Joshua, keep the word close to you. We got to keep the word close to us, amen? We got to know what the word says. And I know I like, you know, Brother Hagin, he always says, you know, I love the Old Testament, but we live in the New Testament, amen? We got to make sure that we know from Acts to Revelations. Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those are the big four, per se, and then Acts and Corinthians. Because those are who we are in him, amen? We got to realize that we are worthy to receive what he has. Sometimes when the word says something, you know, even communion, me and my wife, we were doing communion, because we do it at home as well. And for me, I had to realize a lot of, you know, many of people taking it unworthily. And I used to be like that. You know, I'm like, I can't receive this. I'm not worthy to receive this. I'm not worthy to receive this. And that what he says is, you're worthy to receive everything that he has for us. Amen. And I had to renew my mind. Because I came out of a childhood where I didn't have a father figure, didn't have that, had no idea what being a father was, had no idea to receive from a father. So it was very hard when I first got saved. It was very hard for me to submit to a pastor in some ways. Very hard. Because I had no idea what it was to, like, other than my boss or my uncle, I had no idea what it was to submit to a male. So it was like, it was a challenge for me. You know, the pastor would say something, you know, we'd be talking. Not this pastor, because I was mature by the time we came here, a bit more mature anyway, you know. But even then, sometimes it's like pastoral critique, and you're like, doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Pastor says something to you, it's because he loves you, amen? It's because he wants us to grow. And sometimes it's not when he looks at you directly, but sometimes it's when, you know, as you've had it, where he's sharing something, he goes off on a little rabbit trail, and you're like, that speaks to me. And you're like, and I've done that. Pastor, it really spoke to me when he said that, and it's like, oh, did I say that? It's like, yeah, because it spoke to me. That's a rhema. It'll become alive to you. Know what the word says, amen? So we got to realize that we always continue to give thanks, because the answer is yes and amen. God doesn't say no. The Bible says all his promises are yes and amen. That's why we got to know the word, because all his promises are yes and amen. You ask my wife, I get very, very frustrated if we're watching or listening to, you know, like you go drive through the States, you get a lot of Christian radio that you can listen to. Not everything, just as a Christian, doesn't mean as believers we should listen to it. Because some people, you know, God said no about something. The Bible says all his promises are yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. You will get what you say. Children of Israel, we should have died in the wilderness. God says, but the two spies are going to take you there. We should have died in the wilderness. You know what happened besides those two spies? Everybody 20 and over died in the wilderness. They got what they said. We want a king. God says, I'll be your king. We want a king. God says, I'll be your king. We want a king. You get a king, you're going to have taxes and all sorts of stuff. Let me be your king. We want a king. So they got a king. What happened? Saul wasn't too bad to start with. David was pretty good. But over the years, they got away from God. So God said, you want what you're going to get what you say. You say something enough, God will give it to you because you get what you say. You frame your world with your word. Even if it's negative, you'll end up getting what you say because God will never go against your will, ever go against your will. So you got to realize what the word says. So when people think, you know, God says, no, he doesn't. He might say, ask for this. Get into my word and learn what to speak properly. Amen. The other thing is, you got to see what he's done. Joshua 6:2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, past tense, I have delivered Jericho in your hands. You got to realize that when you continue and you get into his word, you see what the word says, you got to realize that and see yourself in his image. See the image that he's already given you. You know, it's amazing that when God was creating, I was going to turn to Genesis for a second here. I love this because it's not my notes, hon. Just give me a second. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the creature, over every living thing. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, he continues, see, I've given you every herb of the field. Who is he speaking to? Speaking to us. But we were not manifested till Genesis 2 when he actually made the dirt. In God's eyes, we were already there. Spirit aspect, we were already there. It was a done work. He's not speaking. He's speaking to us. Because in him, we were already there. So when you say, by his stripes, I'm healed, in his aspect, and you got to realize with your image, you got to see that you're already healed. It doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair. You got to see that you're walking, amen. You got to see that you're already healed. When I was smoking, brother said to me about, you know, quitting smoking, thank you, Lord, I'm delivered from nicotine. Thank you, Lord, I'm delivered from nicotine. Thank you, Lord, for delivering. I was new at the, you know, get what you say. One day I woke up, I was delivered from nicotine. Was it manifested then? No, it was manifested 3 or 4 weeks before that when I said, thank you, Lord, I'm delivered from nicotine. So we got to see that we're already done. The thing is, when we're made in his image, you know, God spoke to the dirt for the plants. God spoke to the air for the birds. He spoke to the water for the fish. You take a fish out of water, it will die. You take a plant out of the dirt, it will die. What happened? When man came out of the spirit, we died. So now we have to get back into where he is. So I was going to end with one verse here. And it's back in the back to Mark 11. Verse 12 says, this is when they were walking. When they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree, having leaves, he went over to see. Perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. It was not the season for figs, but he went expecting. You know, as we end out this year, I know that, you know, we got to realize that when we start a new year next year, you might think, well, it's not my season to do this. Your season is whenever he comes looking. Amen. Your season is now. We got to realize that the past is the past is the past. Behind us, amen. You got to realize, well, I don't know. We'll get into what the word says. our season is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Now we got to move out. You know, I know there's things that I'm believing for, and I just think, well, Lord, my season is not now. And the Lord said, now, now, now. Well, I don't know if I'm ready now. You got to realize that you can have your healing now, amen. You can have your prosperity now, amen. You can have your deliverance now. You don't have to wait for nothing because it was done 2,000 years ago, amen. We just got to make sure that we realize that we continue to give thanks because it's a finished work. We continue to give thanks because we already have everything. Even though we might not see it in our natural eyes, we got to thank between when we confess it and the manifestation. That's what you do in between is you continue to thank him. We got to realize that we got to know what the word says. So when you come into a problem, speak the word. Amen. And the last one is just to see the image. See that it's already done. Get our eyes tuned to the fact that he already has given you the city. Amen. He already has given you deliverance. It's a finished work. We have to, you know, I speak for myself in the sense that when I first got saved, I used to sit there and I think I had to check off these lists to do these things. And then the Lord said, it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. We got to realize it's already done. Sometimes it takes a little while to manifest. Sometimes, you know, it's the same things. And don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your husband or your wife or the guy sitting beside you in church on Wednesday or Sunday. Realize what the word's saying to you. My wife, she went up. She got prayer for nicotine. Done. Healed. Done. Done. I'm like, okay. So I went up for prayer. Same thing. Said the same words. Went out and had smoke. I had to get a rhema for me, right? I had to do what I had to do. So your healing might be, you know, how when you confess the word, but then God might speak to you about maybe you need more water. Maybe you need to do something. There's some things I'm believing for. And the Lord spoke to me and said, do this. It's like, oh. Okay, it wasn't that he was holding out. It's that I had to do something so my ears were in tune to what he had to say. And then when I did whatever it was, the problem disappeared. It was amazing. It's just as much a miracle as a healing, right? You know, I remember when I was taking my wife, you know, because we had somebody staying with us. So I knocked on the door. I said, I'm taking grandma. We're going to the hospital. And remember, the lepers were healed as they went. And I love the fact that, you know, Mandy was staying with us. No fear, no anxiety. No, she's like, okay. I just had to let her know that we wouldn't be there in the morning. No fear, no anxiety, because you can speak to somebody, you know. But then there was that point where I had a call on the way the next day is, you know, you talk to other people that aren't saved. And you can. You have to be careful because things can rub off on you. And I was like, I'm going to stay this long. And I was like, I have to go see somebody. So I came and saw Pastor Ken. I said, Pastor Ken, this is what's going on. I just need somebody, you know, like a man hug. Just somebody, yes, thank you, Lord. So don't, you know, be concerned if you have to call. If you have to call somebody, call me. Come on. Word says two or three agree and it's a done thing. Amen? Just got to make sure you agree. Everybody okay? All good? Everybody excited about New Year coming? And God's got some awesome things for this church. You know, he really does. Everybody stand up for a second. So remember, if you can't see your victory, you're looking in the wrong place. And make sure you look in the right place, right? The word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we go forth, that we end this year, Lord, on a good note, knowing that next year will be better because you're the God of increase. Your word says that we don't go from victory to defeat, but that we go from victory to victory to victory. And we thank you, Father, Lord, that as we go forth, Lord, that this coming year will not just be exciting for us as a church family, for Faith City, Lord, and for Spirit Alive, Lord, but even for us as your children individually, Lord, and as individual families, Lord, that we can expect more from you because you are a great God. We thank you, Lord. That there is family members coming in this coming year, Lord, unsaved people coming in, Lord, because we're believing it. That wayward kids are coming back to you, Father, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We know that this is a place of healing, that this is a place of provision, Father. We thank you, Lord, that as we go forth from here, Lord, that we can preach the gospel to our neighbors, that we can have boldness. It says in Acts that they prayed for boldness to speak about you, Lord. That as we go forth from here, Lord, that we can speak about boldness, that we can speak about the good things of God and the mercies of God and the grace of God and the love of God and just who you are, Lord, that people don't have to be afraid of you, Lord, but that they can turn and run to you, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we go forth from here, Lord, that we can bring you glory and bring you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free, released. You're free to go. But if anybody needs prayer, you can come on up and we can pray for you.